Hey everyone, and welcome to The Deep Dive. We're diving into the world of Sarah J. Maas's ACOTAR series today.
Okay.
If you haven't read it yet, you're in for a treat, let me tell you.
I agree.
And if you have, to buckle up, because we're going deep.
Deeper than you've gone before.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so we're using this awesome article from the Gooberg Store website called Exploring the ACOTAR Universe.
This is pretty comprehensive.
Oh, it is. It covers like everything Prithian, the courts, yeah. The magic system, the characters. It's all in there.
Nice. Well, then let's get started.
Let's do it. So first things first, Prithian. It's the main continent in this world. And get this, it's divided into seven courts.
Seven.
Seven. Each ruled by a high lord.
Okay, so right off the bat, we've got some serious power dynamics going on.
Right, like who's got the most power? Are they allies or enemies?
Lots of potential for conflict and intrigue, for sure.
Exactly, and that's what makes it so interesting. So each of these courts has its own distinct vibe, like they're totally different from each other.
But how different are we talking?
Okay, so imagine this, the Spring Court, ruled by Tamlin, right? It's all lush forests, vibrant colors, flowers everywhere.
Sounds idyllic.
It is, and the High Fae there, they can control nature, like literally.
Whoa, hold on. So they can like make plants grow or something?
Yeah. And Tamlin, he can shapeshift, like turn into a wolf or a hawk.
That is so cool.
I know, right? It's all about growth and renewal and like harnessing the power of life itself.
Okay, so Spring Court, nature and shapeshifting. What about summer?
Summer Court is ruled by Tarquin, and it's all about warmth and sunshine and the energy of the sea.
So like beach vibes.
Basically.
Yeah.
And the High Fae there are really good with water manipulation.
Makes sense.
Right. They can like control waves and currents and stuff.
I wouldn't want to get in a fight with them at sea.
Haha, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Spring, which is all life and growth. Summer is water and warmth.
What's next? Fall.
You got it. The Autumn Court. This one is ruled by Biron, and let me tell you, it is intense.
Intex how?
Think fire, passion, ambition. It's like a constant blaze of energy.
So the High Fae there can control fire.
Oh, yeah. They can summon flames, create infernos like it's nothing.
Okay. Starting to see a pattern here. Each court has its own element.
Right. And it's reflected in everything. The landscape, the people, yeah. The magic. It's all connected.
All right. So we've got Spring, Summer, Autumn. What about Winter?
Ah, the Winter Court. This one's ruled by Calais, and it's all about ice and snow and like this fierce, almost chilling beauty.
Okay, but they can control ice then.
You know it. Think blizzards, frozen lakes, ice sculptures that could like cut you just by looking at them.
That's pretty intimidating.
It is, but also kind of magical in its own way, right? Mm-hmm. Like the raw power of nature.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, we're up to four courts. There are three more, right?
Yep. We've got day, dawn, and night.
Ooh, day and night. Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me about the Day Court.
All right, so the Day Court, it's ruled by Helion, and it's all about light and knowledge and kind of this radiant energy.
So like the opposite of the Night Court?
Yeah, kind of. The Day Court is known for its vast libraries, its scholars, its pursuit of knowledge and enlightenment.
Oh, sounds peaceful.
It is. But don't underestimate them. They've got power too. The High Fae there, they can manipulate light.
Like bend it or something?
Yeah, and create illusions, maybe even blind their enemies with pure radiance.
Okay, so not so peaceful after all.
Exactly. Every court has its own strengths or weaknesses. All right, ready for dawn?
Bring it on. What's special about the Dawn Court?
The Dawn Court is all about healing and wisdom and guidance. It's ruled by Theezin.
Theezin. Okay, I'm drawing a blank on that one. Is he in the books a lot?
He's a bit more mysterious than some of the other High Lords. But his court is definitely important.
Interesting. So what kind of magic do they have?
Well, they're known for their healing abilities, their wisdom, their connection to the stars. It's a court that values balance and harmony.
Ah, so they're like the peacekeepers of Prithian.
In a way, yeah. They try to maintain order and offer guidance to those who seek it.
Makes sense. Okay, we're down to the last one, the big one. The one everyone's waiting for, the Night Court. What can you tell us?
Okay, so the Night Court is the one that's shrouded in the most mystery. Right?
Totally. Everyone wants to know about Rhysand and the Night Court.
It's ruled by Rhysand. And it's a realm of shadows and secrets. And the High Fae there, they have powers that are both alluring and terrifying.
Like what? Give me the good stuff.
All right, so Rhysand, he's got this incredible power over shadows.
Okay, so he can, like, disappear and stuff?
Yeah, like camouflage. Mm. But it's more than that. He can control shadows, manipulate them, use them to fight or to spy.
That's intense. And a little creepy, not gonna lie.
Right. It's definitely got that dark and dangerous vibe. But wait, there's more.
More.
You can also control minds.
Whoa, hold on. Mind control? Like, actually read people's thoughts and stuff.
Yeah, and influence their actions. Even make them do things against their will.
That is some serious power right there. No wonder everyone's fascinated by the Night Court.
Yeah, I know. It's like the ultimate power fantasy, right? But also kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, to have that much control over someone.
For sure. And the article mentioned consequences if that power is abused, right?
Absolutely. It's not a power to be taken lightly. There's a responsibility that comes with it.
Right, because if it fell into the wrong hands?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, right, about the Night Court and all its secrets and why so many characters are drawn to it. Like, in the number of Akokar characters by court chart.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. The Night Court has the most, by far.
Doesn't it? Makes you wonder what's going on there, right? Like, what's so special about it?
I mean, it's clearly a place of power, but maybe also a place of danger.
Totally. Okay, so we've got 7 courts, each with its own unique vibe and powers. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, day, dawn, and night.
And each of them ruled by a high lord with their own strengths, weaknesses, and secrets.
Yep. And all these courts, they interact with each other, they form alliances, they go to war. They're constantly pushing and pulling against each other.
Creating this incredibly complex and dynamic world.
Exactly. And that's what makes Prithian so fascinating. It's not just a backdrop for this story. It's a character in itself.
Totally agree. Okay, so we've got the lay of the land. But how does magic actually work in this world? Like, is it something everyone can do, or?
Ah, that's a great question. And that's where things get even more interesting.
I knew with it.
So magic in Prithian, it's tied to the rulers of each court. Each high lord, they have these unique abilities based on their court's essence.
Okay, so it's like their power is literally connected to the land they rule.
Exactly. Like Tamlin and his shapeshifting. It comes from his connection to the Spring Court's life force.
And Rhysand's shadow manipulation, it's a reflection of the Night Court's darkness.
Right. It's not just something they do. It's a part of who they are.
Makes sense. But what about everyone else? Like regular Fae? Do they have magic too?
That's where things get a little tricky.
Tricky how?
Not all Fae are created equal. Yeah. Some might have minor abilities like enhanced senses or a little bit of healing magic.
Okay, so like weaker versions of the High Lord's powers.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It all depends on their lineage and how closely they're connected to the High Lord's power.
So it's like a hierarchy?
Kind of. The High Lords are at the top, and their power trickles down through their court.
Interesting. And what about humans? Where do they fit in?
Humans, they're a whole other story. They right. don't have that innate connection to magic like the Fae do.
So they're basically powerless in this world.
Not necessarily. They might not have magic, but they've got something else.
Like what?
Resourcefulness, ingenuity. The ability to adapt and think outside the box.
Okay, so they have to rely on their wits to survive in a world of magic.
Exactly. And that's what makes their interactions with the Fae so interesting. It's not just about raw power. It's about strategy and cunning.
So it's like they're playing a different game altogether.
Right. And sometimes they even manage to outsmart the Fae using their own magic against them.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm starting to see how this whole magic system works. But what about the rules? Are there any limitations to what the Fae can do with their powers?
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's actually a really important part of the story. Because even the High Lords, they can't just use their magic willy-nilly. There are consequences.
Consequences? Like what?
Well, for one thing, overuse can be dangerous. It can drain their energy, make them weak, even sick.
So it's like a battery. You can use it up too quickly.
Exactly. And in some cases, it can affect the land itself. Like drain its vitality.
Whoa, so they have to be careful not to overuse their magic.
Right, and that's where the whole idea of responsibility comes in. It's not just about having power, it's about using it wisely.
Makes sense. So even the most powerful Fae are vulnerable in a way.
Absolutely, especially if their magic is depleted. Then they're open to attack from their enemies.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
About the balance of power in Prithian.
It does. And that's one of the things that makes this world so compelling. It's not just black and white, good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more complicated than that.
Totally. Okay, so we've explored the courts, the magic system, the different types of beings. What's next?
Well, now it's time to meet the players, the characters who bring this world to life.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's talk about the characters.
Let's do it. All right, so we're ready to talk characters.
Yeah.
But first, I just want to go back to magic for a sec.
Sure.
We were talking about how the High Lords have all this power and how it kind of trickles down through their courts.
Right. Not all Fae are created equal.
Exactly. So like some Fae, they might have these minor abilities like enhanced senses or a little bit of healing magic.
Makes sense.
But others, They might have no magic at all. It all depends on how closely they're related to the High Lord.
So it's all about lineage.
Yeah, and how strong that connection to the High Lord's power is. Which brings us to humans.
Ah, yes, the outsiders.
Right, so humans, they don't have any inherent connection to Prithian's magic at all.
So how do they survive in this world? I mean, it's going to be tough, right? Going up against all these powerful fey.
It is. But humans, they're adaptable. They're resourceful. They have to be to survive.
So it's like they're playing a different game altogether.
Exactly. While a high fey might rely on their raw power, a human might have to use their wits and cunning to get ahead.
That's what makes them so interesting, though, right? They're the underdogs.
Totally. And sometimes they even manage to outsmart the fey using their own magic against them.
Which is why it's so important to understand the rules and limitations of magic in Prithian.
Okay, so let's talk about that. We were saying earlier that even High Lords, they can't just use their magic all the time. Mm-hmm. There's a price to pay.
Right. Overuse can have serious consequences.
Yeah, it can drain their energy, make them weak, even sick.
And in some cases, it can even affect the land itself.
Exactly. So they have to be careful not to push their magic too far.
It's like a muscle. You can strain it if you're not careful.
Exactly. And that's where the whole idea of responsibility comes in, you know? It's not just about having power. It's about using it wisely and knowing your limits.
Which makes the whole power dynamic even more fascinating. Because if a High Lord is weakened or their magic is depleted, they're vulnerable.
Totally. Their enemies could take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Which makes you think about all the political intrigue going on behind the scenes, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. There are alliances, betrayals, power struggles happening all the time.
And magic is a huge part of that.
It's like the ultimate weapon.
Exactly. But it's also a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
So you got to be smart about how you use it.
Which brings us to the characters.
Yes. Let's talk about the characters.
Mm-hmm.
The article focuses on a few key players, starting with Fair.
Fair Archeron, High Lady of the Night Court.
She's human, right?
Yep. Born and raised in the human realm.
So how does she end up as High Lady of the most powerful court in Prithian?
It's quite a journey. She's thrust into this world of fey and magic and danger.
And she has to adapt quickly.
Oh, yeah. She faces all kinds of challenges, tests her strength, pushes her to her limits.
But she never gives up.
Nope. She's a survivor.
And she learns to harness her own power, even though she's not fey.
That's what I love about her. She doesn't let her circumstances define her. She finds her own way.
And her journey is all about sacrifice and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she gives up so much to save those she loves. And in the process, she becomes something more.
It's a classic hero's journey, but with a really unique twist.
And then there's Risen High, Lord of the Night Court.
The most powerful High Lord in Prithian.
And super mysterious.
Totally. He's got this dark and brooding vibe, but he's also fiercely protective of those he cares about.
He's gone through a lot though, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a backstory that's full of pain and betrayal. He's been tortured, imprisoned, forced to do terrible things.
But it's made him who he is.
Exactly. It's forged his resilience, his determination to fight for what he believes in.
And his connection with Fair. It's epic.
They're like two sides of the same coin, darkness and light, power and vulnerability. They balance each other out.
It's a love story for the ages.
Absolutely. And it's not just about romance. It's about finding strength in each other and fighting for a better future together.
I love that. Okay, so we got Fair and Rhysand, but there are so many other amazing characters in this series.
Like Cassian and Azriel.
Rhysand's inner circle.
Yep. Cassian is the ultimate warrior, strong, impulsive, always ready for a fight.
And Azriel, he's the spymaster. The silent and deadly one.
They're both fiercely loyal to Rhysand, though.
And to Fair. They're like the brother she never had.
Totally. And let's not forget Nesta.
Fair's sister. She's tough.
She is. She's gone through a lot, too, and she's built up these walls around herself.
But underneath it all, she's just as strong and capable as Fair.
Maybe even more so in some ways.
Right. She's got this raw power that she's still learning to control.
And her journey is all about self-discovery and finding her own path.
I love that. So we've got Fair the Survivor, Rhysand the Protector, Kihand the Warrior, Azriel the Spymaster, and Nesta the Wildcard.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
There are so many other incredible characters in this series, each with their own unique story to tell.
And they all come together to create this rich and vibrant world that's impossible to resist.
So if you haven't already, pick up a copy of Akatar and get ready to fall in love with Prithian and all its inhabitants.
You won't regret it.
Okay, so we've talked about the courts, the magic system, the characters.
Yeah.
But there's another element to Akatar that we haven't really touched on yet.
And what's that?
The themes. The deeper messages that Maz is exploring in this series.
Ah, yes. The things that make you think and feel long after you've finished reading.
Exactly. So what are some of the big themes that stand out to you?
Well, love and sacrifice are huge. Fair and Rhysand, their entire relationship is built on those two things.
Right, like Fair literally sacrifices herself to save Rhysand and his people.
And Rhysand, he spends centuries sacrificing his own happiness to protect his court.
It's all about putting the needs of others before your own.
And the power of love to overcome even the darkest of obstacles.
Totally. What else?
Identity and transformation. That's a big one, too. Almost every character in the series goes through some kind of major transformation.
Like Fair, she starts out as this ordinary human girl, and she ends up as High Lady of the Night Court.
And Rhysand, he goes from being this brooding and isolated figure to becoming a leader who inspires hope and loyalty in others.
And Nesta. She's probably the most transformed character of all.
She goes from being this angry and broken woman to finding her own strength and purpose.
It's all about breaking free from the past and embracing who you're meant to be.
Exactly. And then there's the theme of good versus evil.
Which isn't always as clear-cut as it seems, right?
Nope. Maz does a great job of showing the gray areas of complexities of morality.
Like Rhysand. He's often seen as this dark and dangerous figure. But he's also capable of incredible kindness and compassion. And the villains, they're not just evil for the sake of being evil. They have their own motivations, their own reasons for doing what they do.
Right. It makes you think about the nature of good and evil and whether it's really possible to define either one.
These themes, they add so much depth to the story. They make you think about the world and your place in it.
And they make the characters even more relatable because they're dealing with the same kinds of issues that we all face.
Exactly. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have. Prithian, the courts, the magic system, the characters, the themes. It's a lot to take in.
It is.
Yeah.
But I think we've given our listeners a pretty good overview of what makes ACOTAR so special.
I hope so. It's a series that deserves all the hype it gets.
Totally. So if you haven't read it yet, what are you waiting for?
Go get yourself a copy.
Okay, so we've talked about the courts, the magic system, the characters, the themes, but there's one more thing I want to touch on.
Okay.
The fans.
Yeah.
The ACOTAR fandom is huge and incredibly active online.
Oh, yeah. They're a force to be reckoned with.
I know, right? Like, they create fan art, write fan fiction, have these in-depth discussions about every little detail.
It's amazing.
It is. And it speaks to how much this series resonates with people.
It really does.
So what do you think it is about ACOTAR that inspires such passionate engagement from fans? Like, what sets it apart from other fantasy series?
That's a good question. It's probably a combination of things. I mean, first of all, the world building is just incredible. Maz has created this world that's so rich and detailed and immersive.
Right. You can, like, totally picture yourself in Prithian.
Exactly. And the magic system is so unique and well thought out.
And the characters. Let's not forget the characters.
Oh, yeah. The characters are definitely a huge part of it. They're so complex and relatable, and you just get so invested in their stories.
Right. Like, you're rooting for them, laughing with them, crying with them.
Exactly. And I think another big factor is the romance. Fair and Rhysand, their relationship is just so epic and swoon-worthy.
It's the ultimate love story.
I know, right? And it's not just about the romance either. It's about finding your soulmate, your equal, your partner in crime.
And fighting for what you believe in. Like, Fair and Rhysand, they never give up on each other or on their dreams.
Exactly. And I think that's really inspiring for people, especially young women.
Right. Like, Fairy, she is such a strong and independent character, and she never lets anyone tell her what to do.
She's definitely a role model.
Totally. And Rhysand, he's like the perfect book boyfriend. He's powerful and protective, but he's also sensitive and caring.
He's got it all.
He does. So yeah, I think the combination of the immersive world, the complex characters, the epic romance, and the inspiring themes, that's what makes ACOTAR so special.
And that's why it's got such a dedicated fan base.
Totally. It's a series that stays with you long after you've finished reading it.
It really does.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for our deep dive into the ACOTAR universe. What an amazing journey it's been.
It has.
We've explored Prithian, delved into the magic system, met the unforgettable characters, and uncovered the themes that make this series so compelling.
It's been a blast.
It has. So to all our listeners out there, if you haven't already, I highly recommend checking out the ACOTAR series.
You won't regret it.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll fall in love with these characters and this world, and you might even learn a thing or two about yourself along the way.
The power of love, the importance of sacrifice, the beauty of finding your own path.
Exactly. It's more than just a fantasy series. It's a story about life and love and everything in between.
Beautifully said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Aequitar universe. We'll see you next time for another epic adventure.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.